The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Hoop Heads Podcast. Today, I'll be interviewing Coach Jason Sunkel to hear a little bit about his background and some of his memories from attending Head Start Basketball camps earlier and now transitioning into becoming a coach here with us at Head Start Basketball. So Jason, let's start out with, what's the one thing, or maybe multiple things, that you remember most about attending Head Start Basketball camp when you were a kid?
I remember a lot of different things about Head Start, but I think primarily just the joy that both the coaches and all the kids that were there seemed to have when they were at Head Start. I have so many stories. The coaches there were great. I couldn't tell you any of their names other than yours, obviously, but I just remember going. I really remember, I think it was my third grade year. We were at Center Middle School, and I originally had only signed up for like one session, and I think I ended up going to all four, because that was before you were doing like the older kids camps. So it was just we do open older kid camps now, where like it's only fifth, sixth, and seventh graders. But back then, coach just did four like open camps, and I'm pretty sure I ended up, instead of just doing one, I was like, "Hey mom, can I just stay for the afternoon session?" And we went to get food in between, and then she's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then she's like, and then I was like, at the end of the week, "Hey, can I go next week?" And I ended up going because I just had so much fun.
You were definitely one of the very first people to be a multiple session attender. And in those days, it's funny because, like you said, different from how we do it now, where four sessions spread across 4 weeks. There we were morning and afternoon. So if you wanted to go to two sessions, you were basically with us all day from 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. So it was a little bit different than it is today.
And there's just so many memories I have. Coaches used to do a continuous knockout. It was a fun game that I don't necessarily know. It was back when this camp had just started, but I remember doing continuous knockout. I remember holding the torch when we had to run, which I've kind of infused a little bit into when I'm coaching, because I think it's funny, because obviously it has a different meaning to me, because it's what the coaches back when I was at camp had us do. Now I'm instilling it on the other youth, and I even do it when I coach my 7th and 8th graders that I coach now. I make them hold the torch, so they're looking like, "Why do I have to do that?" And I'm like, "Oh, just because it's my thing." So.
Yeah, some of the things we look back on as, again, when we started the camp, and, obviously we were trying to do, we were trying to do things to help kids get better at basketball. And my friends and I, as we ran the camp, we were young. So I guess my point here is, I think you need to explain continuous knockout for people out there who don't understand what happened there, because it's one of the things that, as I look back on camp, it was one of the funnier things that we did at camp back. Again, we haven't done it for a long, long time.
I mean, it's been, I don't even think I've ever done it as a coach. I don't feel you would set us up and we would have 6 or 7, 8 hoops going at once of knockout. And when you get knocked out, you just go to the next hoop and it just continued. Hence the name continuous knockout. And I don't necessarily know that there was an end game, or like if you went to all the hoops, you were out. Or
I think it was when the coaches were tired and wanted to rest, and so then we'd set that up. And then at the end, I remember I would always come out and kind of jump out from wherever I was standing or whatever hoop I was at, and say, "All right, who won?"
And everyone would raise their hand.
People would all look at me. The kids would all look at me like I was crazy. So, again, that's one of those things that you do when you're young, and that I think everybody had fun because all the kids loved knockout, but the basketball benefit to that was somewhat dubious.
Well, I mean, I still look at it back, and I remember it. So
for sure,
it had some kind of impact on me. And
for sure.
Maybe,
yep.
It made me appreciate it. And obviously, I liked camp enough to go back because I was learning and having fun. And I always loved the tournaments and the stations. And, I mean, the stations, as the years have progressed, stations have changed. But some of the things, the tenets of camp, such as sportsmanship and things, have remained the same. And I think that's really important to note. Like, as things change, there are still things that remain the same and have remained the same throughout the 25,
plus 20, this will be 26. This will be year 26.
So it's and I'm pretty sure that I've been a part of, I was at the second year camp. I was my first year was the second year Mike was doing camp, because I did not do the elementary camps, which was his first year. But I'm pretty sure I was from third grade or second grade until I was in
going to seventh grade.
I went to it, and I probably went to all four camps every single year. And then I started working, I think, in 10th grade for Mike, 10th or 11th grade. I don't remember exactly when. It's a long time ago.
It's been a long time.
So, I just remember lots of great things about camp. So,
next question. If you look back, I know you kind of mentioned your favorite, some of your favorite memories. But if you think about your favorite coach, and even if you didn't remember that coach's name, I think one of the things that we sometimes have to remind ourselves as coaches is the impact that we have on kids. And sometimes you don't even realize some of the things that you're doing that have an impact and that people hold in their memory. So is there anything that you remember from camp, like, again, even if you don't remember the coach's name, something that a coach said to you or something that a coach did that helped you to think back finally on your time at camp?
There was a particular coach who, he was a tall guy, and he would dunk when we told him to dunk, and he was just hilarious. And I just remember from year to year hoping that he was going to be there at camp. And I just remember that one year that he was not there anymore because he had moved on to wherever. And I was sad, but at the same time, like, he made me realize a lot and appreciate a lot more how much he was helping me and making me appreciate the game. It's always funny because I'm 6'3". I'm not supremely athletic, and I can't dunk, but every year at camp, I somehow get talked into trying to dunk, at this point, I think it's happened like 3 or 4 times because I'm just not quite there, especially getting up in age, and I don't really jump nearly as. I mean, I didn't jump high to begin with, just kind of like. I mean,
yeah,
the person sitting next to me here is
not. Thank goodness, no one's ever chanted at me to dunk. So whenever they do, I usually try to jump up and touch the net or jump up and do a layup.
But he would do it for us, and he would dunk like 6, 7, 8 times. And he was always coaching. I do remember this now. He was always coaching the rebounding station.
I think your coach you're referring to was Jermaine Sheffield, who was a basketball player at Strongsville, and then he ended up going to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. But I remember specifically he would coach rebounding, and he would yell at us to box out better because we weren't boxing out the right way, the way he was showing us. And then he would demonstrate how we were supposed to do it. And, it was just, I just remember him like having a big impact. And I think it was probably primarily because he was tall, and at that age, I was tall for my age. So I thought, I related to him in a specific way. And his sense of humor also got me too. So
yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the things as I look at how you put together a good staff is you want to have some coaches who are very strong in the technical aspects of basketball, and certainly we have coaches that have an extensive basketball background. And then I also love it when we have high school and college kids who maybe don't bring the same level of basketball technique and ability to teach, but they definitely bring an ability to relate to the kids in a way that adults just don't. So it's just a different interaction. So when you have both on a staff, I think that makes the camp strongest. So I'm going to jump in here and share something that I remember about having you at camp. And I don't think I've ever shared this story with you. But the last year when you were going to be in seventh grade, and I think it was the very last session of camp that you attended, I think that was the session of camp that you won the camp
legacy
MVP award. And it's not to say that you weren't deserving, because you were, but the thing that I remember about it is because you had come to camp for so many years and been there so many times, you were one of those kids that I felt like I had really gotten to know. And I remember, and I still do this occasionally, is I'll be standing up in front of the group talking about this is the person who's going to win the trophy, and here's what they did, and this is what the trophy's all about, and then as I'm doing it, I'll find myself almost choking up a little bit, and finding myself getting a little misty eyed as I'm calling the kids up to come and get their award. And I can still clearly remember doing that when I called you up, again, just because of the connection that I felt with a kid, again, who had been there so many times with us and that I knew well. So it was gratifying to see you get that and earn that award. So I don't think I've ever shared that with you, but again, it's just something that those are great memories for me when I think about the kids that, you know, have come through and have won trophies, and every year I keep track of who those kids are. It's fun to look back on the names of the kids who have won and think about what the memories are.
I do want to say something. It never ceases to amaze me. Two things about Coach Mike that I remember distinctly at camp is, A, him knowing all the kids' names is after day one. Like, I'm a teacher, too, so I get, like, trying to learn the kids' names really quickly. He now go get 100 kids. Now, I know a lot of the kids he knows through other things and whatever, but he'll have 100 kids' names done on day one. And I'm sitting here like, I just want to remember my 15 that I have in my starting group, starting station. It always amazed me. And the other thing that amazes me, and it still amazes me today, is his spiel at the beginning of camp. I don't know, as far as I can remember, you could, like, record that speech and then record it, like, from 5 years ago. And it's the same, but it's just so perfect. And it always rings true to the campers, and I think, you know, camp changes, everything changes, the order doesn't necessarily always the same thing, the kids aren't always the same, the staff isn't always the same, but the consistent is always the way that Mike handles himself and conducts himself, and the way that his speech is never, like, I hear it, and I could almost recite it, I'm not going to, but I could recite
please
it.
Please don't.
But it's just amazing to me, like, how perfect it is, and it just sets the tone for camp, and it sets the camp up for success every single time.
So I won't address that point, because that's just something that I think you do, because, again, it's something that I've developed over time that, again, like Jason just said, it helps set the tone for what the camp is going to be like and what it's all going to be about. As far as the name thing, I have people that ask me all the time, you know, how do you know all the names? How do you remember the names? And what's the trick? What's the secret to remembering all the names? And my honest answer is there really isn't a trick. What I do on that first day is I just keep asking the kids over and over again, what's your name? And I put my hand on their head and I look them in the eye and I try to put their face to their name. And then I just keep saying their name as they're at my station or as I'm walking around to different stations and seeing what's going on at each one. And I try to use all those kids' names. And by day two, there's usually two or three kids that, for whatever reason, I struggle with. And then by day three, I've usually got however many kids we have at the camp, I've got their names down. And I just think it's something that it's important to me for a number of reasons. The first reason is just it makes a kid feel good when you say their name, when the kid walks into camp or when they're doing something, and I can say, hey, Joey, nice job, as opposed to saying, hey, you, nice job.
Yeah.
It just makes a huge difference in the life of a kid. And then it's also just something that I think if you're a parent and you come through the door with your child and the people who are there know your kid's name, it definitely makes you feel like there's a stronger connection and a bond between the coaching staff and the kids there. So it's one of the things that I'm really proud of. It's not necessarily a special talent. I think it's just something that I work hard because it's important to me. So I appreciate that, Jason. That's something, again, that I take a lot of pride in, and I think it's something that sets apart what we do from other people out there. All right, going on to another question for you. So you are the father of two young boys, and you're not quite yet into the sports parenting age. So as you look forward to the years when your boys are going to grow up and start getting involved in sports, what's the thing or things that you're looking forward to as you become a sports parent?
I think this is a tough question for me, because, you know, I think I both really look forward to it, but I also dread it because I know how tough it is to be especially because I'm a coach and I work with kids all the time. Like, I'm going to have to make sure, like, if I'm not his coach, if I don't want, like, not overstepping bounds, but at the same time, like, I'm really looking forward to him taking up a sport that he really, really enjoys, and whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whatever it is, just seeing him grow to appreciate a game is really important. I actually recently For his birthday, he got a set of golf clubs, and I've taken him out twice already just to, like, go out and see. And he's, in the two times, he's 4 years old. He just turned four. You know, in the two or three times I've taken him out, I've already seen so much growth, and I'm like, you know, am I expecting him to be great at golf, like, next week? No, I'm not. But at the same time, like, I've seen him, he's listening to me, he seems to appreciate it, and I just look forward to, like, being able to instill some kind of, you know, confidence, show him different things. And, you know, I've got him dribbling a basketball, like one of those mini balls, just because I want him to get practicing that, because I know how important it is. As you mentioned in the previous podcast, like, one of the most important things is being able to dribble and get somewhere. So, you know, I'm working on him with that. But, you know, I look forward to seeing him grow, and, you know, just fall in love with a sport that he truly loves. I'm not going to force anything on him. You know, I really can't stand when parents do that, because I feel like it puts them in a position. And I'm not going to speak to any specifics, primarily because I am a coach now, but I know there are some girls that I've coached in the past, or, you know, when I coached in Cleveland for the 2 years, that parents just wanted their kids to do the sport because they did the sport. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be, you have to do basketball because I played basketball, because I don't think that they don't want to do it. If they don't want to do it, then why am I forcing them to do it? Why am I, you know, maybe they could take something else up that they'd really be good at or they'd really enjoy. And I think that's ultimately what matters, is that they are the ones that are enjoying it, not me, because ultimately I'm their parent. And yes, I surely would like to enjoy what they're doing, but at the same time, it's most important that they enjoy it, because I'm 31 years old and I'm still playing basketball because I love it. You know, I don't want, if my dad would have been like, you have to play soccer because I played soccer, and I don't necessarily know that I would love that sport. You know, yep. It has to be something that I love.
I think you're 100% right on that. I think that's one of the things that's most challenging as a parent, is figuring out how to make that balance between, you know, giving them the opportunities to do things versus forcing them. And so speaking of my own situation, I mean, my kids have gotten a lot more exposure to basketball than they would from somebody else, or that they've probably gotten to other sports. But I've tried very hard to make sure that what they're doing comes from them, and not try to push them beyond that. And it's difficult to do sometimes as a parent. You feel like you want to push more, but ultimately I think you made a great point that if they don't like it and they don't love it, then they're never going to practice or work hard enough to be good at it for the long term. And so, again, you want it to be about fun. You want it to be about learning things about life that can apply beyond beyond basketball or beyond golf or beyond whatever it is, the sport that you're talking about. All right, we're going to wrap it up with one final question for you, Jason. And that final question is, you've become now, not only are you a teacher, but you're also coaching some middle school girls basketball teams. And obviously you coach with us at Head Start. So what are some things recently, one thing or maybe a couple things that you've learned in the last, let's say, a year or two, that have helped to make you a better coach, that have allowed you to have a greater impact on the kids that you touch every day?
All right, so I guess I'll give a little background first. So I coached for 2 years. I went to Baldwin Wallace. I got out of Baldwin Wallace. I started teaching in a charter school in Cleveland. And you know, the charter school isn't part of OHSAA. They kind of do their own thing. So we had like some small club. It was like a club team, and it was, you know, there was like 8 to 10 kids, and it was like 4 teams. So it wasn't even like, it wasn't, we got real referees, we played games, but it wasn't like a real thing.
Yeah.
So then when I got a job in Olmsted Falls, I'm just wrapping up my third year, 3 years ago, and I got asked 2 days before the season, because they had enough girls for an A and a B team, which they hadn't previously had enough. So they were like, 2 days before the season started, they'd already done tryouts. They're like, hey, would you like to coach a team? I'm like, sure. And that year was very trying because I had 6 girls on my team. I had one girl who was in concussion protocol all season. So I had
something new that wouldn't have happened 10 years
ago.
Ago,
yeah.
Sure.
So I had 7 girls on my roster, but pretty much all year I only had 6. And I was coaching an 8th grade team, and four of the girls were seventh graders and three were eighth graders. So, and one thing I've learned is developmentally, seventh grade is very different than eighth grade for both boys and girls. Because I actually just, I coached boys this past season as well as girls. So I coached both, but I learned a lot about that. I also learned that you can only control what you can control, and you can't sweat the small stuff, specifically coaching kids, because I know, like, for example, I got my first year coaching, I had grand ideas of how things were going to go, and, oh, we're going to be, you know, I only have six girls, but we can win every game, or we can go out there. But I think setting realistic expectations and making sure that you grow from the beginning of the season to the end of the season as a team, you get the players to grow individually and really work hard, really is the most important thing, I think, is working hard. And, you know, we can't just show up and expect to do great things. We have to work hard to do it. And I think, I know this question wasn't asked, but looking back on my career, I probably didn't work very hard. And by probably, I know I didn't work very hard because I thought, you know, I was really, really good, and I wasn't really, really good when I was 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. I thought I was better than I was.
By the way, that's a disease that afflicts many people out there, unfortunately.
I think it's actually worse now than it was when I was in school. And I can even say, I mean, speaking to my, you know, I've coached for 5 years, 6 years, you know, I specifically when I coached in Cleveland, I mean, I had kids that thought that they should be shooting three-pointers all day, and they should be starting, and they couldn't even hit the rim. They couldn't hit the backboard. They were chucking air balls.
Yeah, I think I think what you're saying is, and what I'm hearing you say is that setting realistic expectations for your team, but also your players, of what they can and can't do. And that's one of the things that sometimes it's having those honest conversations with kids about, look, this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is an area where I see you can grow. And then that goes back to the second part of your answer, which is, you know, hard work. Hard work is how you get from where you are now, which may not be the role that you want, to how do you get to the role that you'd like to have? Well, it takes work to do that. And so one of the things that, you know, again, we try to instill as part of Head Start Basketball is that, you know, it does take work. I mean, the game should be fun, but if you really want to be good at it, you also have to work at it. It doesn't come by accident. So I think those are two great points that you shared with us.
And one other thing, too, to kind of go along with that is that I think this past the boys' season, I had a parent volunteer to tape the games. And just having the ability to show the kids, like, you think you can do this, but look at this play. What could have you done better? And I think that's a whole new ball game with, like, all the games being taped. And, like, I would the day after a game, I would spend half of practice, and, you know, watching tape. And I would go back and watch the tape and see, like, what could have we done differently here? And just breaking it down little by little for the guys, it really, really helped big time. So I think that's one thing that's going to continue to grow, especially, you know, we could talk about NBA. They've been doing that for years, obviously. But at the middle school level, at the high school level, you know, it's only been, I mean, realistically, five,
yeah,
at
the
most,
ability,
five.
If you think about companies like Crossover or Huddle that, you know, have the ability, you send them game tape and they're able to break it down play by play, player by player, action by action. Certainly that technology has taken off in the last couple of years. You know, even thinking back to, you know, let's just say go back 5 years ago, I'm guessing that, you know, even taping a middle school game was a rarity. Now, high school obviously is, you know, people have had game tape since back when I was playing, when you were playing, but middle school for sure. And even now, you know, you think about youth teams, whether it's a youth rec team or a travel team or an AAU team, you know, there are some teams that have a parent that are willing to film games and coaches that go and look at it, but still the vast majority of those coaches don't. So I think it's a good tool if you have access to it, for sure. It's just not always as available on the youth level as it is once you get into the interscholastic competition. But you're right, it's a tremendous tool for those coaches who have access to it. So, Jason, thanks a lot for your time today. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun learning a little bit more about you and your background. And thanks to you out there for listening. Appreciate it.
Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.